Blog Talk Radio.
They think dominant football and who we is. Let's go home and do what we gotta do. This is the hell. This is the hell. This is the hell. Take it on three. 1, 2, 3. Take it.
They wanted the show. We're gonna put on a show face. Yeah, that's one thing we're gonna do, buddy.
He's got something. 30, he's 40, got something.
50,
he's got it.
40,
he's got it.
20, 10,
he's got
5,
it.
End zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
What's up? What's up? What's up? How we doing today? It's your boy Chadwick George here with your second week of the college football show. I'm here with my boy Mark, a.k.a. Realist. How we doing, Mark?
How y'all doing tonight? How's everybody doing?
All right, man. Mark, we're gonna get right into it. We had a crazy week, I would say, of football last week. So we're gonna start off with our recap. The first game we're gonna cover is Clemson Auburn. Let me get your thoughts on it. What you thought of it? Who impressed you in that game? And then did you expect that outcome? Because I'm pretty sure you picked Clemson to win last week. So let me hear your thoughts on it.
Yes, I did pick Clemson to win. It wasn't the type of game I expected, not so low scoring. 14-6 is definitely not what I thought. I actually did not know that guy that caught the game-winning touchdown for Clemson last year, Hunter Winthrow, I thought he graduated for sure, but he's still on the team. I thought he 100% graduated. Didn't even know.
I thought he graduated too. I didn't know he was still on the team. I'm not gonna lie to you. I thought he was still on it. I thought he left.
Clemson's defense as a whole really impressed me. They really seem like they're going to depend on their defense this year. Their offense was somewhat shaky. Their quarterback, like I said, Kelly Bryant, I still don't know if he's a proven passer. He for sure can run with the ball. He had two rushing touchdowns. He had their two touchdowns. As far as Clemson goes, just not really impressed with their offense. Their defense seems to be the backbone of their team. But as far as Auburn, their defense was impressive. Auburn's usually one of the better defensive teams in the country. And their issue has been the same for pretty much ever since they lost Trey Mason and Nick Marshall. They just struggle to put points on the board. And they only put up six points this week, didn't get in the end zone, and didn't put up any points in the second half. And I think that's a little bit of a concern if you're Auburn going against a competitive team, telling that you can't put points on the board.
Yeah, I'd say I definitely agree with you there. My take on it was, like I said, Clemson's defense is so impressive. You pretty much said it. Like, they're going to have to rely on their defense. I told you I'm still not impressed with Bryant. I have no faith in him yet. Yeah, like I said, his first game he played against Kent State, he was good. But this game, you can see he can make the play with his legs, which I wasn't worried about. I mean, I know he can make the play with his legs. This is with his arm, though, I'm more concerned about. Granted, I mean, he plays Louisville this week. I don't think their defense is horrible. So I don't think he has to really make too many big throws, but it's gonna be fun to watch him progress. Though, like I said, granted, he's only a freshman, so he's gonna progress. Auburn's defense was very good. I mean, you can't expect them to play a better game. They needed help My main problem with Auburn, which is with all SEC teams, I feel like, it's, I mean, except for like Alabama, they don't have quarterbacks. They don't have quarterbacks in the SEC, which in college is starting to go down too in general. I don't think the Big Ten has too many good quarterbacks. They just don't have that many quarterbacks that can actually go out there, manage you that game, and get you that win. But like I said, though, Clemson, I picked Auburn to win, so I was wrong on that note. I thought Auburn's defense was going to be too much for them, but I didn't take into the fact, though, I didn't take that into factor that Auburn's quarterback was scoring. So, but other than that, though, I mean, they, like I said, Clemson's defense looked real well, and I'm excited to see what they do against Louisville this week. But let's, did you have anything else on that?
No.
All right, we're going to move on to our next game then from last week. Another big game, Stanford versus USC. Thoughts on it?
Stanford versus USC, I felt it was revenge week for Sam Darnold. Not really revenge week, more of a bounce back week, especially being their first true test of the season, which you would think would be their true test. He throws for 316 yards, 4 touchdowns, still threw 2 picks. You'd like to see him clean that up. But the most impressive thing with USC, which it was in week one, is their running game. They ran the ball 48 times for 307 yards and 2 touchdowns, and they had 2 guys go for 110-plus rushing yards. Anytime you do that against another top team in the country, you're most likely going to succeed. Stanford is Stanford. You always know they're going to be competitive for the most part. They're going to have a couple playmakers on the outside, a solid running back, good running game. Defense just didn't get the stops. I don't know if that's because USC's offense is really good or if Stanford's defense is not so good. It'll be a trend to see. Looking forward, but yeah, I really wasn't shocked USC won that game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we both picked USC to win this game. I was impressed with Darnold, but as you said, though, like, I mean, he had 4 touchdowns, but the 2 picks, though, it's concerning. I mean, he's been, how many picks did he have first week? Was it 2? 2.
He's so far in the season, 4 touchdowns, 4 picks.
Yeah, that's a little concerning to me. I mean, if I'm looking at him as a scouting-wise, I mean, he obviously has the mechanics and the skills, but, I mean, some of his decision-making from what I saw sometimes can be – sometimes it's bad. I mean, but like I said, he went out there both weeks, and he went out there and got the run. As you said, that run game was ridiculous. The offense is very high-powered. Once Darnold, like I said, he gets his decision-making, get his butterflies out, which I expect now with it being past the third week, I expect the butterflies to be out. I expect him to do very well next week. Other than that, though, Stanford, like I said, it was a competitive game, real competitive. I expect the outcome to be like that. But other than that, though, you can't really complain about it. I thought it was a good game. Stanford down the road, I think this might be your only loss. They played a tough game, and then other than that, I don't see them really losing to nobody else. So, yeah, other than that, though, I'm going to move on to our last little recap game, which was the Buckeyes versus Oklahoma, where we saw Baker Mayfield go into Ohio State's house and plant the flag in the middle of the field. Let's get your opinion on this. I mean, on the game. How did you feel? What did you see? Analyze it for me.
As as a Michigan fan, it's always good to see the Buckeyes lose. Can say it is not what I expected. Last year when these two teams matched up at Oklahoma was more talented, I feel. And they were blown out of the water. So coming into this year, I just thought, you know, both teams had lost some pieces. And Ohio State would be at home this time, so I still gave them the advantage. And I was wrong.
that Oklahoma team is a lot better than I thought. And right now, if, like we did this segment last week, if we were picking a team to possibly compete with Ohio State, I think I would have to, I mean, Ohio State, Alabama, I think it would be Oklahoma. I still don't think they would win, but that's for another time. But yeah, that Oklahoma team was really good. I would like to say their defense did a really good job, but I would have to more credit that to the bad play of JT Barrett. I still don't think he's a good passer. I feel like if you get Ohio State in situations where he has to pass, that's where they're weak. He's not a great passer. In Oklahoma, they made a few plays in the second half that made the difference. They had a big interception after a touchdown, and mainly the star of the game was Baker Mayfield. Gutsy performance by him. He was limping around a lot in the first half and looked injured, but he came out in the second half and played a great second half, put up 28 of the 31 points in the second half. So credit to Oklahoma for the big victory, big upset, I would say. Big upset. Doesn't look like a big upset because it was team ranked 2-5, but I think that's a big upset.
All right. You know this is my team, so I'm going to make this sweet and not short, but I'm making it sweet and not too long, though. We got out-coached, we got outplayed, and we looked like crap on the offensive end. We had too many opportunities. I want to first start off with, I don't understand. We got a new offensive coordinator in Kevin Wilson. You would think when we go back to when we had Zeke and we lost to Michigan State by 3 points, when Zeke only ran the ball 9 times after the week before, he had about 140 yards, and he ran the ball 9 times against Michigan State. You would think that you would learn from that lesson that, hey, maybe if I have a decent or a good runner, in Zeke's case, a great running back, even now you have J.K. Dobbins and you have Mike Weber, you would think that you might want to run the ball, just maybe, possibly so. But they fail to realize they want to get JT Barrett in the game, passing the ball. The first drive, the first drive, they passed the ball literally every they passed the ball every down. They didn't run the ball. They never established a run. They didn't do anything to establish the run. That's where we messed up at. I honestly feel if we would have actually got our run game going, we had a better chance of winning. But no, we put too much faith in JT Barrett to pass the ball. And everybody knows now his arm is crap. Like, literally, have we been talking about Andy Dalton on that NFL show? He's the equivalent of Andy Dalton. Like, he literally is the equivalent of Andy Dalton. He can't make a throw. He can't do it. And when he does do it, it's a short 5-yard stubby drag play. He can't make big throws. It's not going to work like that. You have to get your run game established. Secondly, we have the worst secondary in the nation. Like, literally, Kent State's secondary is better than ours. I honestly feel Kansas' secondary is better than ours. Like, our secondary is terrible. These 2 weeks, we didn't give up, 300 yards passing? 300 yards plus passing? Like, our front seven can't do everything. Like, you got to be able to cover something. They can't cover air right now. It's honestly terrible. I blame everybody on that team, including Urban Meyer, which people seem to forget that he's the coach, and he's supposed to be this almighty coach. He got outcoached by a first-year head coach. It looks terrible. I mean, I still think, I'm not going to take my own word, I still think there's going to be a one-team loss. One team lost team in the playoff. I don't know if that's going to be us. I'm going to say right now, though, Penn State looks the best out of all three teams that we said. Ohio State needs to get it together if they want to do anything, contend for it. They still have a chance to go to the playoffs. They got to play Penn State and Michigan. But you're not beating Michigan with nasty JT Barrett throwing ducks all day and not running the ball. You're not going to beat Penn State for surely if you can't throw the ball and run the ball. I mean, we just got beat in our house. We let somebody – like, you would think once you get shut out 31-0 against Clemson, that lights a fire in you. But no, that didn't light a fire in them. that made them play worse. Hopefully, when somebody waves a flag and put it and puts it in the middle of the daggone Buckeye, you would that hopefully that lights a fire. But we'll see. We'll find out when they play Army. This should be an easy game for them. But let's find out if their DBs play. Let's find out if JT Barrett can make a throw. Let's find out if Kevin Wilson wants to run the ball. It's simple. I mean, literally, it's simple stuff. I mean, we're not that far behind, but, you know, at the moment, though, it looks hopeless because they don't know how to play call right now. They don't know how to do the simple things. It's fundamentals. They just don't understand it right now. And not to take anything away from Baker Mayfield because that man looks amazing right now. He's hitting all his routes. He's making tight precision throws. If he does something bad, he doesn't put his head down. He goes back out there and plays. Like, Baker Mayfield, he's lovely right now. He's honestly lovely. But I'm going to get off that topic before I get more pissed because they're disappointing me right now. So we're going to move on from that. Let's move on to just in general. Let me hear your players. Give me three players that impressed you last week. Your top three players that impressed you.
Top three players that impressed me. Obviously, Baker Mayfield. He was really impressive. I'm gonna say this. He's been good for Michigan the last 2 weeks. I'm really impressed with Ty Isaacs, who's now probably our featured back. It seems like he's ready. Last year he didn't look like he was ready. Hold on just a second.
You're fine.
Yeah, I had to plug my phone in. My bad. But he didn't seem last year. He didn't seem like he was in the groove, but now he seems like he's in the groove as the starter, and he's ready to take that role as the lead back. Even though Hardball uses many running backs, but he's ready to be the lead back, and I was really impressed with him. And then the last person I would have to say was probably that pass rusher. I don't know how to pronounce his name, the pass rusher for Oklahoma. I really felt like he made a lot of impact game.
Yeah, I forgot. I don't know how to pronounce his name either, but I know exactly what you're talking about. You talking about the guy? I don't want to butcher his name. That's one thing I don't want to do.
He was number 31, I believe, right?
It's number 31. But, I don't know his last name. I don't want to butcher it. But that's your three right there? That's a good three, I'd say, because Oklahoma definitely had more. They had Jeff Badette, too, that transferred from Kentucky and destroyed us, too.
That running back, Sermon, was good, too.
Yep, everybody was good against our defense, you know? I don't know. But they gave you my three. Of course, I have to put Baker Mayfield up there. Like I just said, he's playing amazing. Like, I don't know. He looks amazing right now. But I'm not going to add any more on him. Lamar Jackson, like I told you last week, I have my doubts, and I still have my doubts. But any man that passes for over 300 yards, I know he played North Carolina too, granted. But any man that passes for 300-plus yards and runs for 120-something with three touchdowns on running and passing, you get my respect. You have to. You get my respect. I mean, he's a playmaker. He's definitely a playmaker. He was missing passes, yeah. If you actually watch the game, yeah, the stats don't say it all. He definitely was missing passes and stuff. But the man looked actually really good, so I'm not gonna dog on him. He looked amazing. And probably my last person I would probably put up there. Honestly, I would have to go with Jeff Badette from Oklahoma. Jeff Badette, like I said, I mean, Jeff Badette played at University of Kentucky last year. He was complaining about playing time, and then he left to Oklahoma, and it's paying off right now. I mean, Baker Mayfield's getting him the ball, and he's making the catches and stuff. he had a couple drops in the game, but when it came down to it, he made that goal line catch at the end of the game where, I mean, he made that catch to put him at the 1 yard line. If he gets the ball in his hand, he's going to make a play happen. He's fast. I mean, he's just been real impressive, and he tore our defense up. I mean, even, you know, kick return and punt return, he looked real good. So I was definitely very impressed with him. But other than that, did you have anybody else that you wanted to add on to that or no?
The receiver for Oklahoma State, James Washington.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that guy, he's dominated the last 2 weeks, and this week I think it's time to give him his respect.
For sure, he did dominate last week, and he did dominate the week before that. So I'd say, yeah, he looks real good, too. So I definitely agree with that one. I would definitely agree with that one. So let's go ahead and move on to the Heisman update. Who's your top player right now for Heisman? I'll start it off. This one. I'll give you my top three. I'll give you my top three right now. So I'm definitely gonna say right now at one has to be Lamar Jackson after that performance that he put on. We all know the Heisman voters, they don't look at the actual game most of the time. They look at the stats, they see how he's impacting the team. So him having 6 touchdowns in total that last Saturday, that definitely helped his case to put him back at number one. At two, I would have to say Baker Mayfield's there. He beat Ohio State convincingly. He's making passes, tight passes. His stats are very good. I mean, he's definitely my number two right now. And then three, I'm going to put Josh Rosen right there. I think he had 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions last week, right, if I'm not mistaken. He definitely bounced back from the game he had the first week, even though he came back that game. He definitely bounced back and actually looked real, real good through the whole game this game. So I think those would be my top three right now. Somebody that's looking out, I mean, Sam Darnold's right behind them. He just has to get his picks down. I mean, him having 4 picks and 4 touchdowns, you got to have that down. But I definitely think right now Lamar Jackson is my number one.
For my number one, I'm going to have to go with Baker Mayfield. I'm just more impressed with what he's done so far, especially with losing two really good running backs from last year and a top receiver. I'm really impressed what he's doing with this young group. Especially after we didn't talk about it, he lost his number one receiver, tight end Andrews. He lost him in the Ohio State game. So I was really impressed with him, his performance last week and the week before, to make me feel he's the Heisman winner right now. If it was after 2 weeks, I would put him number one. Number two, Lamar Jackson. There's no arguing the numbers he puts up. It's kind of hard to. It's kind of self-explanatory. So I have him at two. And then three, just like you, Josh Rosen. Good comeback week one. Great comeback. A crazy comeback. And then last week, I think it was 4 or 5 touchdowns, no picks. I put him at three. And then my dark horse, who I don't think a lot of people are talking about, is the leading passer in the country right now, the quarterback for Ole Miss, Shea Patterson. He's only like a sophomore. He's throwing the ball around.
He's slinging that rock. People don't understand. He's slinging that rock. But yeah, I definitely agree with that. But let's go ahead and stay on the Heisman topic. Do you think Lamar Jackson can repeat this year?
Do I think
not
he
can actually
repeat?
Let me say, will he repeat? That's what I should have said. Do you think he will repeat?
I'm going to have to say no, just because the odds are usually against that. Like, if you look at what he did last year, he would, in order to repeat, I feel like the committees that I feel like you have to repeat that again, and you have to be better. If he wants to try to do that, I feel he must win this game this weekend against Clemson in a premier matchup, the game of the week.
So who – All right, so to answer the question, I honestly think he will repeat this year. Who did he – see, the way I see it is – the committee really doesn't care. I've noticed this since when Johnny Manziel won the Heisman. The committee don't care if you win. If you lose or you win games, they just care about stats. I mean, yeah, it's nice for you to have a good record, but when Johnny Manziel won that Heisman, which I'm not saying he didn't deserve, I think he had three losses. Lamar Jackson had three losses last year too. I'm pretty sure he lost to Clemson and he lost to Florida State and he lost to Kentucky, but he got the Heisman off of that effort. He went down. I definitely think he's going to watch college. I definitely think he's going to repeat. And the only reason why I'm saying that is I know every game, some way, somehow, he's going to put up stats, whether it's passing or running, and he's going to make those big plays. And that's what they look for. They look for big plays and they look for stats. They don't actually – I don't feel like they look for – the way you're playing. I would love for Baker Mayfield to win it if he keeps playing the way he is. But as far as what they look for, I feel like I think Lamar Jackson definitely can repeat. I definitely think he will repeat. But it's interesting to see if he does win this game against Clemson this week. It's going to be a hard game, but I think once again though, if he puts up the stats, they're still going to keep him at number one in the Heisman race. And I still think they're going to that'd just be a spot because, like I said, they just pay attention to the stats. Anything else to add on that?
No, not much.
All right, we're going to go ahead and go to the we got three games this week that we're going to be watching out for. Let's go ahead and go into the first one. We got Oregon versus Wyoming. Who do you have winning?
I'm going to go with Oregon. I just think they're going to be a better football team. I'm very interested in this game, though, because I think this is a big chance against a school that gets respected. See what Josh Allen has against them, and I feel like this is a game for the taking for him to move him up in his draft stock. Oregon's usually terrible on defense. I feel like they've gave up the third most points in the Pac-12 so far these first 2 weeks. So, and the game's in Wyoming, so I feel like this is a game for him to boost his resume. But at the end of the day, I think Oregon will be too much. They'll put up about 40 points, and they'll win the game.
I definitely agree with you. I think Oregon's offense – let me issue an apology to you because I'm pretty sure they played Nebraska last week. And I do remember saying Nebraska was going to win that game, and I'm pretty sure they got beat by like 20 or something. Their offense was god-awful, and their defense looked god-awful also. But Oregon's offense is going to be too fast for Wyoming's. I think Josh Allen will put up decent stats. I don't think his stats would be – I think this is his game. Oregon's defense is terrible. I think this is his game to prove that he can actually rise his draft stock. But it's about him taking the horn and actually taking that opportunity because this is the game that he needs. This is the game with a bad defense that he can go out there, exploit their defense, pass for about 400 yards, put his team on the board. I don't think he's going to win the game because I think Oregon's offense is going to be way too much for the defense, but this can be that game that he actually excels and actually breaks out this season because I haven't seen anything from him to say, oh, yeah, this guy definitely is the number one quarterback in the draft. I haven't seen that from him yet. I need to see more. So I think this would be the game that he does that, though. Other than that, that's all I have to say on that. Let's go ahead and move on to our second game. Did you need to add something?
Nope.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to our second game then. We got Tennessee versus Florida, an SEC matchup. I'll start this one off. I am going to pick Florida on this one. I think this is going to be a defensive battle, but ultimately it's going to be whose offense do you trust more? I don't trust neither one of the offenses. So I'm honestly think it's going to be more. I think the game, I'm going to predict a score in this game. I think the game's going to be, let's say 14 to 20 with Florida coming out on top. I think their defense scores two touchdowns, and they miraculously get an offensive touchdown somehow. This game is going to be a real good defensive game, though. It's going to be a smash-mouth SEC game that you'll like to see. Neither one of these teams are very finessed as it comes on offense, but on defensive-wise, though, they'll definitely step up. So it'll be a fun game to watch if you like defensive football games.
I as well think Florida will come out on top. I just don't. I've seen my team play against them, so I know Florida's defense is pretty solid. I think they'll run the ball enough, move the chains enough to keep their defense off the field, get them some rest, and I think they'll come out on top. I'm pretty interested to see who they start at quarterback, whether they start Malik Zaire or the Felipe guy, Felipe
yeah.
Franks.
Felipe Franks, yeah.
I think that Franks kid has a lot of potential. I just think he's young. And I thought the start against Michigan was a defense like Michigan probably wasn't the best for him. But you got to also think Florida was without 10 of their like starters against Michigan. So I think those starters coming back will make a huge difference. And I think Florida will win a game like 17-14. Very close, like you said, a defensive battle.
I definitely agree with you on that. I would like to see Malik Zaire play because I remember when Malik Zaire actually came on the scene at Notre Dame. I'm pretty sure he wasn't a starter. Who was Kaiser starting before him, or was Zaire starting and then Kaiser came in?
No, actually, Zaire came in for Everson. What's his name? Golson. Everson Golson when they had that guy. Yeah.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay, yeah. And then Kaiser came in after that.
Yep.
All right, yeah. I say Zaire had he looked good at first, but lately, like I said, I haven't seen anything enough for me to say, like, he's back to that level. I would like to see him get back to that level, though, because when he was there at Notre Dame and he was actually playing, I actually thought he was a decent player. But right now, I mean, I can't really say that. I would like for them to start him so he can get his confidence up. I think this would be a good game for them to start him against. So, like I said, it'll be fun to see who they start, though. But let's go ahead and get into our last game. The best game of this week, the primetime game, Clemson versus Louisville, got the ACC matchup. Who you taking?
Clemson. I'm going to take Clemson. I think with a bad Louisville defense and a not so great Clemson offense in those type of matchups, I usually take the offense just because football is more offensive oriented nowadays. It's made for the offense to succeed more. So I'm going to go with Clemson just because I think the their offense will outplay Louisville's defense, and I think Clemson will force a turnover or two to make the difference in the game, and I think Clemson wins that game by about 14 points.
I'm gonna go with Clemson this week, and main reason being Louisville's defense is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. They gave up 35 points to Purdue, and they gave up 37 points to North Carolina last week. Just think when you're playing it's an okay offense with Clemson. And also, it's just when you're playing against Clemson's offense, they definitely had a weapons to go out there and win that game. So I got to go with Clemson on this one. Now, as far as Louisville versus Louisville, I mean, as far as Lamar Jackson versus Clemson's defense, I think Clemson's defense is going to not bottle him up but contain him. I don't think anybody can stop him in college, but I think they can contain him, and that's the job that you have to do. You have to be able to contain him. I think this would be the team to do it. They did it kind of last year when they got the win against them. So it'd be fun to watch. I think it'll be a fun game to watch. I'm going to say Clemson wins by 20. I think they'll force two turnovers, honestly. We'll see. This is the game for Lamar Jackson to actually prove, though, he can pass. He can make the plays. And this is the game for Bryant to prove that, hey, he's playing against a bad defense. We all know he's playing against a bad defense. He needs to show us, though, that he can make these passes in big games, in primetime games. Like, I mean, he did okay. He did okay against Auburn, but we want to see his arm, though. I mean, I want to see that he can pass the ball. I want to see that he can win Clemson this national championship this year. So it'll be fun to watch, though. I'm definitely picking Clemson, though. So that's the end of our topics right there. Any closing thoughts, Realist?
Just to speak on Lamar Jackson, I think he's a really good college football player. Obviously, he does things that are sometimes jaw-dropping almost because it's not explainable. It's more of it looks like backyard football almost. Like it's like literally
NFL Street.
Yeah, it's like they're playing a video game. Every play, he's running into his own players. He's spinning, running backwards, rolling out the pocket, and throwing to somebody wide open because the defense broke down. And I mean, it's cool for college football because college football is a lot of goofy stuff happens. But if I was an NFL team, I wouldn't go high on this kid. I don't see it. I've been looking at mock drafts, and they already have him projected to go eighth. I feel like if somebody were to waste a top 10 pick on him, it would be very, very disappointing. Just felt like saying that about Lamar Jackson.
All right. So I'm going to close my thoughts out on this. One, Ohio State, run the ball. Urban Meyer, Kevin Wilson, run the ball. You do not need to have JT Bear pass the ball at a time. Two, JT Bear, get ready to change your position if you expect to go to the NFL because you're not a quarterback. Get ready to get your running stance together. You're about to be the next Denard Robertson. You can't pass the ball at all. Get ready. Prepare yourself. Ohio State quarterbacks are not made for the NFL, obviously. I mean, we don't have any in there. Three, I think the Bengals need to pick Lamar Jackson. Honestly, you say you don't want them, but look, you said you don't want nobody to waste that pick on a high pick on him, but I would take the chance on him because I feel like he has a lot of upside. I do agree with you. It is like watching schoolyard football. I feel like I'm watching an NFL Street 2 game, like I'm playing PlayStation 2 and I got the game controller in my hand. I got the PlayStation 2 controller in my hand, and I'm running around in the backfield shaking people, and then I just throw the ball deep. It is like that. But I feel like he has a lot of upside. I would take him. I mean, as of right now, I mean, he's looked the best out of everybody except for Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield. I mean, I would probably take those two out before him. But if I'm, like, in a situation with the Bengals where I have Andy Dalton that can't make a pass right now, you got to take the risk. And that's what football is taking a risk. That's what drafting is. Just take the risk. If you see somebody with a lot of upside, you got to take it. But, like I said, on that note, we're going to go and end the show. I want to thank everybody for listening to our NCAA show. Everybody have a blessed day. I mean, a blessed night, I should say, because it's definitely 1 o'clock almost. So everybody have a blessed night. Thanks again. And be safe.
Peace out.